Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves which men walk over without knowing it." One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute.' Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering." When Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say.
Father God, we pray that as we wrestle with the word that you have for us this morning, that you would convict our hearts, that you would challenge us by your word, but help us not to stay crushed. Help us to go to the foot of the cross, remembering that you are the God of mercy. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As most of you would be well aware, before I became a pastor, I was a mechanic. And as owner-operator of my own business, I would often be right in the middle of a job, concentrating hard when the phone would ring. And so in order to get to the phone before it stopped ringing, well, there's no time to go and wash your hands and then go and pick up the phone. As best as you can do in that amount of time is to give it a bit of a wipe with a rag and pick up the phone and grab the call before it stops ringing. Needless to say, our workshop phone was often very, very grubby. You could see the grease and dirt and oil all over my hands, and you could certainly see it on our telephone in the shed. There was no question about whether or not they were dirty. You could see it with your eyes quite clearly. And it was very hard sometimes to wash and get all of the dirt and the grease off both my hands and the telephone. When hands have dirt or grease from working on machinery or out in the paddock, then it's easy to see when they are dirty. It's easy to see that they need to be washed. But with the spread of COVID-19 around the world over the last year or so, personal hygiene has been pushed to the forefront of our minds. It's become normal for us to go into a shop or a cafe or a restaurant and be met with hand sanitizer. And of course, the reason for this is that hands can be dirty even when they look clean. They can have germs and bacteria on them that aren't visible to the naked eye. It's easy to see when somebody's hands are covered in dirt and grease, but it isn't always possible to see the germs and the bacteria that we usually carry around on our hands. These germs and bacteria can make us sick, and in the case of COVID-19, they can spread quite rapidly and make others sick. No one would dare walk into a restaurant having grease and dirt all over their hands in a visible way, because others would see that their hands are dirty. But when it comes to the kind of dirt that no one can see, the germs and bacteria we carry on our hands, well, and that kind of dirtiness that can actually make us sick, well, that often gets missed because they can't be seen. We might not look dirty, we might not feel dirty, and so we assume, and so do others, assume that we are clean. In this morning's passage, Jesus is invited to be a guest in the home of one of the local Pharisees, a Jewish religious leader. But this guy at this meal is getting far more than he bargained for. As Jesus sits down at the table, ready for a meal, his host notices that Jesus hasn't washed his hands. Now, of course, if we all know that if you've been out in contact with huge crowds of people as Jesus was, well, it's important to wash your hands before you go and eat. Every parent knows, every parent with small children knows that you have to remind them over and over again to wash their hands. We teach our children to wash their hands before they eat to avoid all the germs and bacteria from those things that they've been playing with and touching, making them sick. But here we see Jesus sitting down to a meal without washing his hands. But this wasn't some act of laziness on Jesus' part or bad personal hygiene. He might have been in trouble with the COVID police, but this wasn't what was going on. Jesus was deliberately and strategically challenging these man-made traditions and rules of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. God had given the law his rules through Moses, guidelines for how to live in a way that pleases God. But these religious leaders had given all sorts of extra rules, all sorts of extra ways that they could check off the to-do list. As long as they did these rules that they thought would make them more holy, they could compare themselves to others. They weren't washing their hands to get rid of grease and dirt or even germs and bacteria. They were washing their hands so that others would think of them as holy, as clean in God's eyes. This was a ceremonial washing for show. I won't go into it this morning, but it was quite an elaborate kind of washing. The water had to go a specific way down the hands or it wasn't counted. It had to be done in a very, very specific way. And they performed these religious traditions and ceremonies for the praise of men, and so that others might look at them and think that they have it all together. But no amount of hand washing or rule keeping is able to change the condition of their hearts. They look good from the outside and they won the praise and the respect of others, but inwardly their hearts were stained by sin and pride, and they had no love for God at all. They had fallen into the trap of measuring their walk with the Lord by what they did and comparing what they did against others, against the actions of others. They thought that what they did made them holy, and that as long as they kept these outward rules, well, they had it all together. But we shouldn't be too quick to condemn these Pharisees as being ridiculous, because it's really easy for us to do the same thing. It's really easy for us to fall into the trap of measuring our walk with the Lord against the actions of others. When we look at others, we might think to ourselves, well, I do a lot more in the community or the church than that person does. I go to church or Bible study more regularly than them. I've been a Christian longer than them, or serve longer or better or harder. And even though we might not plan to think this consciously, we compare ourselves to others. And it's easy to subconsciously think to ourselves that we are more holy or more devoted or more spiritual than someone else. And that's a really dangerous place for our hearts to be. As Jesus sits down to this meal with these Pharisees, he knows that they are judging their holiness and the holiness of others based on their own man-made rules and regulations. And so Jesus challenges their whole understanding of who God is and what God wants for them. He challenges all of their traditions, their rule-keeping that they have made up. And he explains that there is no amount of outward rule-keeping is going to change the condition of their heart. What Jesus wants is a changed heart, a heart that knows that apart from God's mercy, we cannot be forgiven and we cannot be made right with God. Now, this passage doesn't tell us whether this Pharisee who noticed that Jesus hadn't washed his hand, it doesn't tell us whether he questioned Jesus about this, only that he noticed that Jesus hadn't washed his hands. But Jesus knew his heart. He knew what this man was thinking, and so Jesus gets straight to the point and says, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." And then in verse 41, Jesus tells them to give what is on the inside of the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Now, the words "to the poor," which are in the NIV translation, are not actually in the original Greek. The ESV translation helps us understand this verse just a little bit more clearly. It says, "Give alms," alms is an offering, so give alms or give as an offering those things that are within, and behold, everything will be clean for you. Or in other words, Jesus is not saying that if they do more works, if they do more works for the poor, then they'll be clean. Instead, what he is actually saying is that unless we give what is within us to the Lord, unless we give our hearts to him, no amount of outward religion or tradition is able to cleanse us and make us right with God. And so Jesus begins pronouncing 6 woes on the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Jesus is giving these woes to correct their misguided attitudes and behaviours. And as he pronounces these woes, any notion that we may have of Jesus as a polite and politically correct dinner guest are thrown out the window as Jesus publicly calls out his host and the other guests. He is certainly not trying to win friends here in these verses. But we've seen this before. Jesus is not interested in gathering people around him who only give him lip service. He wants those who desire to live for his kingdom, regardless of the personal cost. To the Pharisees, Jesus warns that their tithing, their public reputations, and their ritual cleansings do not please God. The Pharisees were giving their tithe, but they were not acting justly, and they had no love of God. their good outward action, the tithing and offering to God, was being done with wrong motives. They were doing the right thing by tithing to the Lord, but they weren't giving to bring glory to God. They weren't doing it because of their love for the Lord. They were doing it to gain praise from others. The second woe that Jesus pronounces on the Pharisees is that they loved the best seats in the synagogues and people greeting them with respect in the marketplace. And we compare that to what Jesus teaches in Mark 10, where Jesus says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Their reputation among the people and the praise of others was more important to them than giving glory to God. And serving others couldn't have been further from their minds. And the last woe that Jesus pronounced on the Pharisees in verse 44 is the most serious of them all. He tells them that they were making others unclean without even realizing it. Now, in Jewish tradition, walking over a grave made someone unclean. And so it was a common courtesy to whitewash gravestones. That way, people would be able to see if there were graves in the area and they'd be able to walk around and not make themselves unclean. And what Jesus is saying here is that these Pharisees are like unmarked graves. They are leading people to make themselves unclean. And but just because they don't realize it doesn't make it untrue. The rules and regulations that they had added to God's law were leading people away from the Lord rather than into a right relationship with Him. The religion that was making them look good compared to others was actually leading people away from the Lord. And while Jesus was saying all of these things, one of the experts in the law was starting to get offended by what Jesus was saying. Rather than being convicted of his sins, he tried to justify himself to Jesus. He spoke up and said, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Well, as Peter would be able to testify, when you speak up to Jesus in the middle of a series of woes, it never ends well. So Jesus turned his attention to these teachers in the law. But his aim wasn't to insult them, but rather to challenge their hearts. And so Jesus gave them three woes as well. Jesus said, "Woe to the teachers of the law, because they were loading people down with rules and regulations that were impossible for them to keep." But in contrast, Jesus had been teaching the people in these vast crowds, and in Matthew 11, saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Then Jesus says, "Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them." Now, this is the hardest of all the woes to understand from our context. With these words, Jesus is calling them hypocrites. On the one hand, they have built the tombs for the prophets, the messengers of God's word, the messengers that God sent to proclaim the good news. But on the other hand, their outward acts of religion were showing that they actually agreed with what their fathers did. Their forefathers had killed those who had been sent to share the message. And their actions showed that they would have as well. I'm sure that they were horrified at this accusation. And yet even as they were hearing these words, rather than being convicted of sins, they were no doubt wanting to kill Jesus, the greatest revelation of God. In the final woe, Jesus says, "Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourself have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering." This is a scathing indictment on their teaching. He's accusing them of false teaching, of taking the truth and utterly destroying it. Their outward rules and regulations weren't just unhelpful or distracting, but they were actually sending people to hell. The rules and regulations that they'd worked so hard to keep, that they'd used to make themselves feel more holy than others, had actually become a stumbling block that were keeping people from coming into a right relationship with the Lord and preventing them from seeing Jesus as Lord. And so as Jesus left this home of this Pharisee, with these religious leaders fiercely trying to catch him in something that he might say, their hearts were still hard. Even after Jesus had confronted them with these incredibly hard words, they don't seem to have felt any conviction of sins. And they seem to simply keep trying to justify their actions by trying to trap Jesus in his words. These verses are incredibly hard verses to take, because these verses should challenge each and every one of us. In these verses, Jesus is warning all of us not to mistake religious practice for the love of God. These religious leaders were incredibly meticulous at keeping these man-made regulations. They were skilled, far more skilled than we are, at looking holy in the presence of others. But their actions were not motivated by love for God. They were simply done for the praise of others. So what Jesus is saying is that how we try and present ourselves to others doesn't necessarily reveal the condition of our heart or our relationship with the Lord. The Pharisees and these teachers of the law are proof that people can present incredibly well in public while their personal relationship with the Lord is wasting away. And so these words of Jesus should challenge us all to give our hearts fully to the Lord rather than just complying with outward symbols of obedience for the purpose of keeping up appearances. When we are serving in the church or in the community, it's important that we keep checking our hearts, making sure that we are serving for the glory of God rather than our own. We must not make the mistake to think that religious practice or traditions and expectations that have been built up over the years are ways of serving Jesus. And we must not neglect our hearts. We must wash the inside of the dish as well as the outside by seeking to do our good service out of the thankfulness for what Christ has done for us. We must avoid the trap of measuring our walk with the Lord against the actions of others. Only God knows our hearts. And so when we measure our walk with the Lord against the actions of others, well, we're only looking at outward signs. We have no way of knowing whether the inside of the dish, of their dish, has been washed or not. But we do need to check our hearts. This morning's passage is a challenge for us first to come to Jesus, recognizing our inability to measure up to his standard of good, with humble hearts, offering ourselves to Christ Jesus. so that we might receive the forgiveness that he achieved on the cross in our place. And then, having been forgiven, we can serve with our hearts and our actions, all because of what he has done for us. Some of the actions of these religious leaders, some of the things that they were doing just showed how hard their hearts were. They were presenting well on the outside while the inside was wasting away. They had no relationship with God. Their actions that appeared holy and looked good to others were actually actions of rebellion. Things done to try and save themselves. To serve Jesus, to follow him, begins by giving our hearts to the Lord, by accepting the forgiveness that Jesus freely offers to those who trust in his sacrifice in their place. God's Holy Spirit will then fill our hearts and inspire us to do good works out of joy in what he has done for us. Because of his mercy working in and through us. As he makes our hands clean and our hearts clean in his eyes. Not just to the eye, not just to those around us, and not even just a COVID clean, a bit of a quick scrub to do what we have to do, but completely pure, ready for eternity. So as we've heard these hard words this morning, may we come to the Lord recognizing that the only way we can come to him is if our hearts have been washed by the blood of Christ, if we have been cleansed by the mercy of Christ Jesus, if our hope is in what has been done for us rather than in what we have done. Let's come to him in prayer. Father God, we confess that we have all sought our own glory instead of yours. We confess that we have often sought to seek the praise of others or been concerned about what others might think rather than being inspired by the hope we have within. Lord, we pray that the joy of knowing that we have been forgiven, the hope of Christ's resurrection and his death in our place might inspire us to serve. And to serve not for our glory, but to serve for yours. And we pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.